Thank you. one more time. Amen. We did not have to make it in, and God is good. Amen. And we're going to do this again on Sunday, but today, that's why you were late, Brother Giovanni was inducted into the National Honor Society at Green Tech High. Amen. Come on, give me a hand. Inducted into the National Honor Society. Amen. Bless you all for that. Thank God. Amen. Not only can he sing good, but he can have a good mind too. That's right. Amen. So we bless the Lord and we thank God for that. Actually, Gio, Poppy, Justice and I got a joke for you. Yeah, you showing that picture? Later, okay? Amen. But truly, God is good. How many know His mercy is enduring? Amen. So our theme for this year, once again, is the year of what? The year of spiritual increase. And 2 Peter 1:5 says, besides this, giving, that is our best effort. All diligence is giving all that we have to give. And Jesus said, we have to love Him with all our hearts, mind, soul, and spirit. Amen. Giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue is spiritual excellence, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. I thought y'all learned that. But you need to learn because that's increasing, right? You got to add to. You can't get from one till you get to the other. And matter of fact, our cartoon, if you look at our cartoon from this past Sunday, it was a gentleman saying, I need more God and less of me. And the trainer was adding to, not weight, but adding to his faith, virtue. And when he got, he said, well, I think you got it now. Now let's add some other things. So tonight is so important that we get to the place of God where God becomes number one. A lot of us talk God, as we said a few weeks ago, we talk God, but we live a whole different way. Amen. And first, thank God for my wife being here. Amen. Pressing her way. Amen. She's been fighting some illnesses. And if I wasn't careful, that illness trying to come my way. But you gotta fight. Amen. We got a private joke, we're gonna leave it at that. But nevertheless, God is good. Amen. And His mercy endureth forever. Amen. How many know after you get over a certain age, you start having pains?
Amen.
That you ain't never had before.
Amen.
They'll start talking that they ain't never talked before.
Amen.
I've been quiet for 40, 50, 60 years. All of a sudden, the voice.
Jesus.
Don't listen to that voice. That voice will keep you shut in, shut down. Amen. Matter of fact, I was supposed to do something with somebody, and they heard a rumor and said, well, you're not going to do it. And I said, absolutely will. Amen. An old saying, if you can, don't call in and do what? Don't call in, but. Alright, y'all ain't ready for this. Let's just keep going here, right? In other words, don't let nothing stop you. Amen. Alright, we can work it out, so seriously. That was up here. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And actually I had planned tonight to finish what I was supposed to do Sunday. And as I was on my way home, another thought came to mind. I said, that's just way too short, Lord. I don't have time to prepare that one. Amen. So I said, I won't do that. I said, you got to give me a better sign to teach this one. Right? And actually, it came to me this morning when I was praying, when one of those things that had talked in a long time started talking. Got me up a little early, and then I needed to get up early. But as I was fighting that thing, something else was talking. Amen. So tonight we want to deal with our spirituality. Amen. Our spirituality. So we're going to read from Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down and read verses 9 and 12. Now we're all familiar with this, but for the sake of time and for the amount of scriptures we have, we're not going to try and read it all. But we know this is This is a time when the Lord tested Abraham. Everything we do is a test. All right? So do we all have Genesis chapter 22, verse 1? Let us read. And we're going to read verse 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down to 9 and 12. Everyone else can fill in between. Amen? And it came to pass, after these things, that God did, that took me a test. He was proving it. All right? So God did test Abraham. After all that Abraham had gone through, God is still testing him. Amen? And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thine
only son.
Thy what son?
Only son.
But what about Ishmael? Ishmael wasn't a son. Because Ishmael came about in a circumventing way. So the only son that God recognized was, even though he did bless Ishmael, but the son God recognized was Isaac. Well, why don't we recognize Isaac? Because Isaac was closer to Abraham. Amen? He said, Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him of. Now skip down to verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. May the Lord bless to the reading of his word in the church. Say it. Bless all, and you may be seated. Amen. So we're going to deal with serving God out of fear of God and loving God. Right? Serving God out of fear of God and loving God. Now we know Abraham had gone through a lot of different things. But this was the last test that God gave him to show, because Abraham loved Isaac. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he said, you know what? Now, a lot of us, if we were Abraham, we would rationalize the reason of God, because child sacrifice was forbidden. You weren't supposed to offer your child. He said, remember, do not like the heathens. Molech is when they offered their children as sacrifice to God. Well, what sense does it make? God is testing me, and he's asking me to do something that he said, don't do. You all with me? God said, don't do it, because that's what the heathen does. But now he said, I'm going to test you. You know why? Because he said, you know what's more important than the written law? His word. His word, his voice, was more important than the... So the written law said, thou shalt not. But God says, I want you to do it.
Amen.
Think about that. Why would God tell him, ask him, or require him to do something that he said don't do, and Abraham, being the obedient servant, he just sit down and say, well, wait a minute, hold on, you asked me to do something you said don't do. Right? So, and we should regard out of fear of who? God. Amen. He said, now, if that would have been asked, he said, wait a minute. You're trying to trick me, God. But the Bible says, early the next morning. because he was more obedient to the voice of God than the written word. Does that make sense? Right? Because God gave him a specific commandment. So tonight, what we're going to deal with is, put that up for me, Shire, puppeteering salvation and false, F-A-U-X, spirituality. Puppeteering salvation and false spirit. Now we know false is what? False, fake, not true, going through the motions. Amen. It's like most of the furniture we buy today after we put it together. The other gifts now are talking about it. That's false furniture. Because when you move it once, it's finished. Right? Because it's not, it looks real on the outside, but it's not real. Amen. It's false. Matter of fact, we moved our desk and they said, wow, that is some real wood. And all of a sudden, remember all the gifts? It split. So we had to take one part off one desk and put it on the other desk because it wasn't real. It was false. It looked good. It was heavy, like it was. But on the inside, there was nothing there. So we're dealing tonight with puppeteering salvation. You know, when the Lord gave me that, like, puppeteering, you know, everybody knows what a puppet master is, right? Right? The puppet master pulls the strings. The puppet master gets you to do what he wants you to do. But then I was surprised as I was researching puppeteering, there is actually a course on puppeteering. And it's called Puppets in Training. Puppets in Training. But this puppet in training is not the unanimated and inanimate puppet. It's talking about training people. Puppeteering. And it's one of the biggest things about a puppeteer, in we talk about relationships now, right? Dealing with people. One of the things about a puppeteer is that they are narcissistic. They believe in self-worship. Amen. So what a puppeteer will do, now we talk about PIN, puppets in training. If you are a PIN, what the puppet does to get you to do what he wants you to do, when you don't do what the puppet wants you to do, he gets mad and gives you the silent treatment. Right? Just out of nowhere, won't speak to you, won't talk to you for months. This is the puppet. Now, because he wants to pull your strings. So when you don't do what the puppet wants you to do, even if it's against what is right, the puppet pulls the string. Because the puppet is training you to do what he wants you to do. Then the puppet gets to the point, not the puppeteer, not the puppet. The puppeteer is training you to do what he wants you to do. Then the puppets get to the point they don't know right from wrong. Because their whole worship is to the puppeteer. Mm-hmm. And then when they don't do what the puppeteer wants them to do, the puppeteer gives them the silent treatment. You all with me? But as long as you do what the puppeteer wants you to do, you're in their favor. So the puppeteer pulls his strings and his tactics so long that the puppets don't know right from wrong. Because they're no longer governed by their conscience, but their whole worship is to the puppeteer. So they can no longer discern from right from wrong because they're in the puppeteer. Many relationships today, not just in church, we talk about husband and wife and family relationship, are puppeteers. Because when you don't do what the puppeteer wants you to do, the puppeteer gives you the side treatment. Or the puppeteer will back off. So then you can know the thing is wrong, but the devotion is to the puppeteer. And not to what's right, so you don't want to offend the puppeteer, so you would do the wrong thing, even if it's against God. That's not right. You can't do the wrong thing based on the consequence. Now the biggest thing about the puppet is this: when the puppeteer is not around, A puppet will do anything. Because the puppeteer cannot see them. In life, don't ever have a greater reverence for me than for God. The problem with the puppet and the puppeteer is they forget that God sees all. God monitors all. So when the puppeteer is not watching, they will do the wrong thing because they have a wrong devotion. Tonight our devotion has to be to God. It can't be to the individual. In the, I'm going to come back to this. Let's go to 1 Peter. Y'all say this before. 1 Peter chapter 5. All right. Now we're talking about puppeteering salvation. Don't do the right thing for fear of the repercussions. When the Bible says, if God be for you, who then? But the puppet can't see that God because the puppeteer is standing between them and God. So if the puppeteer is not watching, the puppet will do wrong and straighten up when the puppeteer comes around. That's not truth. Right? That's false. That's not a serious situation. If my wife is around, I don't look at another woman. But when my wife is not around, I'm just going to use myself as an example because I don't do this. But if my wife is not around and I'm peeping and slipping and dipping and diving, I'm nothing but a puppet. Because my devotion is wrong. And the only reason that I'm not doing the wrong thing is because I'm afraid of the repercussions of being found out. Wrong. Fake. Not true. Not real. If I go somewhere out of town and nobody's around and I do things that I know I should not do because the puppeteer is not around, that's fake. Because when I serve God, I do the right thing regardless to the consequences. Amen. Well, my wife knows the situation. She and I discussed it for hours because we were in a vehicle traveling for a long time. I said, you know, the repercussions are going to be severe. But I can't do the wrong thing. I can't please a man knowing that God's not going to be pleased with me. That is, I'm being controlled by the puppeteer. God forbid. Don't do the right thing because the right people are around. And when nobody's around, you do the wrong thing. You know, it's like Facebook today, right? Facebook, y'all know all about Facebook anyway. Facebook can be used for good. Facebook can be used for bad. But if I'm in church and I'm holy in the way I present myself in church, and then I'm unholy the way I present myself on Facebook, that is false. That is fake. And God sees Facebook just like he sees us.
Amen.
All right, so I don't do it on Facebook. If you send private texts, isn't this, you know, spiritual? You can't increase spiritual if you're fake.
Right.
I told Mr. Bloomfield, how come the Venus not seeing what y'all like? It's because she's fake.
Well, let me see, then I say no, she's
fake. I thought that the Dominicans were singing. No. Well, I'm saying fake. You can't do the real.
No, you're not fake. Okay.
Well, I'm saying you can't present yourself one way in church and around the saints. And because you go on a private, I don't use Facebook. I don't even go to their private stuff on Facebook. It's just you with another person and nobody else can see it. So the puppeteer is giving you because you fail to realize that God sees all. All right, 1 Peter 5, 1. Are y'all with me? It's no longer time to be playing with God. Amen. If it's wrong, when the right people are around that you want to impress, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. When they're around. You with me? That's the puppet. The devil is the greatest puppet here that ever lived. Yes. Pulling our strings, getting us to do. Right? If I do because of the repercussions, that's not love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then John said, his commandments are not grievous. Tonight, we're talking about getting closer to God. It's not important how you present yourself for us. You can pray in church all night long. You can do all that you want to do in church. Then when you leave, if you don't represent God in the fullness, a puppeteer is pulling your strings. And you don't even realize it. And like I said, I mean, it's a puppets and training, they get to the point that they don't know right from wrong. Because their whole devotion is not to God, but to an individual. And every move they make is out of fear. All right? So, y'all find this way. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the Peter said, I saw the Lord suffering. I was there. I was in the garden when he prayed. I was in the garden. I was there with him when they crucified him. Amen. He says, I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory. Lord, thank you. That's what it's all about. We're living for the glory that shall be revealed. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but, and don't do it just for money. You're leading God's people. If you don't get a dime, do what's right. Not for filthy lucre, but of a minor ass. You can't be a puppeteer over God's people. Don't ever do right because I'm around. As a pastor, then when I'm not around, you do wrong. Devotion is wrong. Spirituality is false. Because a spiritual person always does what's right in the who? Sight of God. So he said, do what's right before God. He said, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. A puppeteer works like this. If you don't move like I want you to move, I get upset. That's wrong. If in your freedom, how do you know God created us to be free moral agents so we can make our own decisions? I can't get mad at you because you make a decision. I'm pulling strings. We are humans. God gives us a choice to make a decision. Now, if you make a decision without counsel, you suffer the repercussions of the consequences. But I can't get mad at you. The only reason God put Adam and Eve out of our garden is because they disobeyed him. But he didn't get mad. They broke the law, so as a result of breaking the law, he said, you cannot stay in this position of perfection. So I got to move you out of. But he didn't get all angry. He just said, you disobeyed me. And why? Neither slumbers nor sleeps. God knows the motives. I can give my body to be burned, bestow my goods to feed the poor. And if I have not charity, the Bible said it profits me, I can have faith to move all mountains, and I can interpret all prophecies. But if I have not charity, it profits me. Charity is a love or devotion solely for God. And if I do it for any other reason, the scripture says it profits me nothing. You know what I mean? When we deal with the puppeteer, we just do things to be seen. Because the puppeteer can reward us. I believe it's in the book of John, the scripture says, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Our devotion, listen, if a million people ain't here and it's wrong, it's wrong. You can't jump on the wrong bandwagon because it's the majority. You got to be on God's side. So you got to do what's right. Fake people go along with the crowd because they don't want to stand out. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Hear God and keep his commandment. This is the only reason God created us was to do what? Fear God and keep his commandments. That's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You got it? Okay. You're on the phone. I'm not going to fat. Last time I was up with two fat, I was beat up. You keep up. All right. So I said, let us do what? What is the reason God created us? Why are we here? You know, yes, we want to be successful. Yes, we want to have accomplishment. But God created us for one sole purpose. Fear God and keep their God and keep whose commandment? All right, now let's go to Isaiah the 29th chapter. So there is a commandment of God, but in the puppeteer's salvation, there is also a commandment of man. There's also a commandment of man. Let's go to Isaiah 29. We're just going to go to the 13th verse. Tonight, Lord, I just want to be right. If nobody else gives me a path of proof, as long as I hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, I am satisfied. Psalm said, I am so satisfied. Isaiah 29:13. Now, there is a commandment of God, but there are way too many commandments of men. So people are no longer serving God out of fear of God. Amen. But they're serving God out of fear of man. I told y'all years ago when I was praying about a decision, God said, wait a minute, who do you fear? I'm gonna clean it up for the internet. God said, who do you fear? I said, wait a minute, I don't fear no man more than God. I can't support wrong if it's wrong. I don't care who it is. I don't care what you can take from me. You can take everything, but you cannot take my soul.
Amen.
I fear can't be because of what my wife or my husband is going to do. Mm-hmm. God is able to make your enemies be in peace.
Amen.
If we please him.
Amen.
We've lost sight of what God is and what God can do because of man. So many of us know the right thing to do, but we won't do it out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. Because God has not given the church the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a
sound mind.
It didn't say anger and hate. It says what? Love, power, and a
sound mind.
My sound mind says is wrong. I don't care who does it. Today a lot of Christians could have been a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because everybody else would bow. Because the puppeteer was pulling the strings. But how many have the courage to say, oh, puppeteer, we're not afraid to answer you in this matter. No matter what you do, we're not going to fall down and serve your gods. Because we serve the Lord and him only that we serve.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says, oh, you can cast us into the fiery furnace, but be this known unto you, we will not serve your false god. And by the Bible, we worship the golden image. That's what you make a stand for God. What about the repercussions? You can take my life. You can touch my body. Thank God you can't touch my soul. How like Lord said. Lord says, all souls are mine. All souls. Everybody living has a soul. The Bible said God created man from the dust of the ground. And then when he breathed into his nostril, the breath of life, man became a
living soul.
So once you start breathing, you are a living soul. Nobody can touch your soul but God. Everything that we receive in this life is temporal. The scripture is, while the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things that are not seen in our souls are eternal. Our souls are going to live on forever somewhere. God forbid if I'm going to live in hell because I fear man more than God. Take everything. One thing I like about David, David said, you know, I sinned, I messed up, I've done everything, all this thing wrong. He said, but Lord, it's against thee and thee only have I sinned, committed this great transgression. He said, Lord, in all of your anger, in all of your retribution, take everything, but don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. We lose sight of God when we focus too much on our puppeteer. And the puppeteer starts pulling stuff and taking stuff. You know what we do? We say, if I don't fall in line, I'm going to lose everything. No, if you don't stay in line with God, you're going to lose everything. Because the most important thing you will lose is your soul. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So Isaiah 29:13 reads, wherefore the Lord says, for as much as the puppets are drawing near to me with their the puppets. Because the puppets aren't doing what's right when nobody's watching. So it's only a lip service. It's only talking faith. But they're walking down. Because they draw near to them with their mouth. And do what? And their lips do. So you're saying all the right things. But have removed their hearts. You know what, in other words, I mean, you know what? If I have the choice to please God or please somebody else, I'll please a man before I please God. Their hearts are so far from God. But they praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. He says, that's nothing more than lip service. I ain't gonna tell you to look to somebody else if they got lip service, because they might get hit. So we ain't gonna do that. But I'm just saying, lip service? Mouth service? God said, I ain't looking at that. Y'all school students, y'all be part of y'all. Y'all in college, right? Y'all know better than God said, I ain't looking at your lips and your words. God said, I'm looking way past that. Because I'm reading your heart. Because man looks at the outward appearance. Isn't that good? Isn't good to have a blood God?
Thank you, Jesus.
God said, but I'm reading your hearts. Even then, God said, I don't care about all the stuff you say and do. He said, I'm reading your hearts. I'm reading the fact that if somebody ain't watching you, you'll do wrong in a heartbeat. God said, that ain't salvation.
Okay.
Well, what's the problem? He said, their fear towards me is taught based on the their fear towards me is taught
by the precepts of man.
They lost it. They missed it. Because no longer are they keeping my commandments, but they're following men.
Yes.
No, I know. This is a tough message. What I got, I said, Lord, I can't fight it no more. That's why I was late, because I did all this stuff together in a few minutes. You try to please a man, you mess up every time. Oh, Lord, you mess up every time. So, well, I know the right thing to do. But if I came to church, they would be mad at me. I heard that. Moses asked, who's on the Lord's side?
Amen.
I'm just curious. Who's on the Lord's side? When we all stand, go back to Ecclesiastes 12, 13, or 14. Is. Go back there for 1 second. Go to the next, 14. Let us hear the... No, right here. For God shall bring... Who's going to bring it?
God.
Ain't no man going to help you. When it's there, when it says you and God. For God shall bring some of your words.
Everywhere.
Just the one that people saw.
Everywhere.
Just the things you give your heart.
Everywhere.
God shall bring.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Judgment.
Into what?
Judgment.
With all the stuff that only people know.
Every secret.
No, no, no. God knows the secret stuff that nobody knows, right? You think you got it? All that stuff that's. Only reason I ain't doing it because I just don't want to get in trouble. You messed up already in salvation. Jesus said, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
By this you all men know that you are my disciples indeed, the love you have. If the only reason I don't cheat on my wife because I don't want to be married by her, that ain't love. You know with me? That's wrong. Say, well, if I had my way, wrong. Wrong way to start off. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till. Till. So when stuff don't go wrong, you ain't got no right to act on the. I mean, this ain't a marriage counseling. With everything you think, whether it be what?
Good or evil.
But who's going to bring it into judgment? God's going to bring it into judgment. Amen. But I can't. I told somebody years ago, why tell me years ago, man? I said, my conscience won't let me do that. Your conscience? Yeah, my conscience won't let me do that. Well, these are your repercussions. I did it. But when I went on, my conscience was there. Your conscience, your witness, being the means of accusing. Thanks to God. If your conscience is beating you up, John says God is greater than your conscience. And he knows all things. So yeah, I did it. I don't feel bad. I felt bad. Get it right. Your conscience is accusing you. You can't get out of that. Your conscience is that one fragment of spirituality that God has invested in every person. Say it or unsay it. Your conscience. All right. Well, let's get down to the other part, to the secret part. Y'all want to find out about the secret stuff? All right. Accusing in the name when God shall
judge the secrets of man.
Nobody now know. God knows. And God's going to judge the
secrets of man.
Nobody going to have to know. A false salvation, a spirituality, think they can hide what they're doing from God. God says, no, no, no. For what I'm just going to do while people are watching, that's a puppeteering salvation. Right. Let's go back to Isaiah 29, then we're going to keep going. Y'all with me? That's trust. I ain't coming to church on Wednesday, but I just want to be saved. You come to church anytime. Because it's more important to be saved than anything else. We have to stop being saved based on the fear of death. Take everything away from me. Lord, but don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Amen. So Isaiah goes on to say in this 29th chapter, he said, therefore, verse 14, we read 13 already, the fear of being taught by the what? Preached up a man, but they did not end there. There's who knows, semi-colon or colon? I don't know what it's going to be. It's colon. Y'all put the semi at the foot. But it doesn't end there. He said, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom is going to perish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They teach you a whole lot. I know what. Oh, they got a whole lot of stuff. Beware lest any man spoil you. And vain deceit. After the rudiments of this world, after the traditional man, and not after Christ. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be. These are those that are teaching the commandment of man. God said it will sustain itself for a short period, but eventually it's going to perish. Eventually is going to come down. He said, the biggest problem is woe unto them that seek. They don't decide to look. Right? You know, you got to put a lot of trouble to hide this thing. You get this good on the surface. Right? When you got to hide stuff, you got a man can hide puppeteer. He's pulling all the strings away. If you don't pull this, that's going to happen. So puppeteer got to pull everything. So they can't hide it in the shadow. They got to seek what? Deep. To hide their
counsel
from the Lord. You can't hide it. God sees it. If I went to Mars, if it was possible, and if I did go on Mars, can I? Right. I go to the furthest part of this earth. Behold, the scripture said, behold, thou. If I make my bed in hell, if I ascend to the highest heaven. So where can you go that God is not there that don't see you or hear you? But they seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their words are in dark, and they think, listen, you're doing a whole lot of stuff. Who said it? Who what? he say, go all the way? Charles said, all the way? All the way. Well, he will be hit one time. All the way. No, that's right. But don't go halfway. You got to go all the way. Not just for people not to think, worship on your con is the most important thing of all. And what does it profit a man? You know who asked this question? Jesus. It wasn't a prophet. It wasn't an apostle. It was the Lord himself. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world? He just gave the part of the world. He gave the book. The whole world and lose. He said, if you don't understand, what can you give in exchange for yourself? If you don't understand what I'm saying, he said, what can you give in exchange for your soul? Amen. All right. I like to quiet church. Let me go pay attention. All right. So now let's go. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. My time is almost up anyway. So our time is almost up. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13. We'll start at verse 1. I got a lot of scriptures I got 2 minutes. All right. So Deuteronomy 13, 1. I'm not going to ask y'all for 5 minutes. I'm going to finish on time. Verse 1 reads, if there arise among you a
prophet.
Watch it. John says, try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. If there arise among you a prophet or a dream of dreams, and giveth thee a sign, watch it. The signs, the wonders, the miracle should fall in line with God's word. Amen? It has to fall in line. And the signs of the wonders come to pass. They give it to you, they come to pass. Wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go. We're talking about the puppeteer. You know what we're following God? You're following, I don't care who the prophet, the bishop, the apostle, or whoever, they ain't after God. It's wrong. Right, go after other gods, which now is not known, and let us. They serve a whole lot of gods that ain't God today. You can't serve that. There's only one God. Amen? Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dream or dream. For the Lord your God, he's using all those people just to test you. Those dreams, those prophets, those lies, it's a test. He's doing it to what? To prove you. It's to test you to know God is letting all that false stuff come to pass. So when it came to pass, if it ain't in the word of God, it's still wrong. God said, yes, I let all that happen because I want to see what was in your heart. To him that knoweth to do good.
Amen.
And doeth it.
Not
it is. Well, what did you do? Well, prophet, whatever you said, do it. But you knew to do good.
Amen.
So why did you do it anyway? And then when you were doing it, you weren't happy because your conscience was killing you. But you did it anyway. God said, well, you know, I just let that happen just because I want to know what's in your heart. To see whether thou will keep his commandments or not. Amen. In the 13th chapter of John, I'm just going to mention this. Jesus does something that's not customary for a leader, my master, to do. He takes a towel in the basin after supper. And he washes disciples' feet. They have feet. It's a plural. So foot, feet, not feet. But
amen.
Maybe we want to do some beef. But he washes his apostles' feet. And Peter said, no, Lord. Lord said, if I don't wash, you don't have no part with me. He said, so I have to wash. Peter's said, well, wash it all. He said, no, if I just wash your feet, that covers it all. Right? He said, if I've been your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. What ought you to do to one another? He said, if you read down, he said, these things have I done as an example of you to follow. Anytime a puppeteer won't come down, he got to watch it. Because he's supposed to lead by example. The Lord was the highest of high because he was God. God coming up first as a man. He said, I was rich. For your sake, I became poor. God did all of that for us. What are we doing? For him. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now let us go. We're going to close in Revelation. Y'all with me? I've highlighted a lot, but I can't go through it all because we don't have enough time. Amen. But what kind of salvation do you have tonight? You know and God knows. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Revelation 22. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll go to Revelation 19. Okay, Revelation 22. Actually, let's start in Revelation 19. Then we go to Revelation 22. Now, how many know Revelation is what John got his great revelation? Amen? Mm-hmm. And part of Revelation, God is speaking. Part of Revelation, the angel is speaking. But you have to discern who's speaking. You have to try the what? Spirit. This is what spirit this is. So in Revelation 19 and 1, let me find this. Here you go. 19:5, I'm sorry, not 1. And this is why this is a glorious vision. Even the glorious vision, you have to have a spirit of discernment to know who is speaking. Amen? He said, we are to love the Lord. Our God, fear the Lord our God and love with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all our souls. Him are we to worship. The Lord said, worship the Lord and have no other God. Right before me. Is that a commandment? We are to worship who? People are worshiping everything today but God. Even in church, worship God and Him only shall thou serve. Verse 5 says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, so if you're not on the throne, that gotta be for who? Not exactly. All ye his servants, all ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard it were the voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife has made herself, that's us. So John is seeing this revelation before it takes place. Prophecy is history written in advance. So he's watching this revelation. And it says, verse 9, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these things are the truth. Now, John is an apostle. John has the Spirit. But John is caught up in the Spirit. And John goes in there. And I fell at his feet
to worship him.
Worship him. And he said unto me, didn't the scripture say John was in the Spirit on the existed. Probably because the video was so glorious, he couldn't discern the voices. In the beginning, God was speaking, our Jesus. But then, when the angels speak, he thinks it's God, because he wasn't discerning. So the Spirit can be high. But the Bible says, who has an ear to hear what the
Spirit
says in the church? Y'all with me? All right, now let's close in Revelation chapter 22. I don't want to have a false spirituality. I don't want to have fake salvation. I don't want to just come to please anybody else. But my worship has to be to God. Take everything away from me. The Lord will take your Holy Spirit from you. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 reads. Now, he's still in the... And in the 19th chapter, he should have already done it, right? The 19th chapter, he already kind of slipped up. Did he do it intentionally? No. But he was not discerning. So just because somebody's in the Spirit, don't mean he's speaking with God. You know what I mean? Everything in the Spirit ain't necessarily from God. So you have to listen. If you read this in 1 Corinthians, 14th chapter, it talks about prophecies and spirits. It talks about how when he knows the truth, because it reveals the secrets. Right? If I'm going to give a prophecy and you already know stuff going on, that ain't no prophecy. Right? That's just a confirmation. But when it's a prophecy, they reveal. Read about it in Revelation 1 Corinthians chapter 14, somewhere down around the 20-something verse, somewhere down there. It talks about when you have a prophecy, and it's a prophecy of God, you reveal self that nobody knows. That's prophecy. Mm-hmm. But if I come and say, God show me this about you, well, you knew it 2 years ago, why didn't you do it? That ain't prophecy. Just, you know that?
Amen.
So when somebody tells you something that they already know, say, wait a minute, why don't you tell me something that you don't know? And then let God confirm. All right, Revelation 22:1. I know you, I gave you a whole lot in my life. That's good. Because we try to get close to God, so then you can go do some reading. Revelation 22, read. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and they yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Now we know this is a glorious, right? This is symbolic. There ain't gonna be a whole lot of trees up in heaven. Right? This is something that God is showing. Alright? And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Okay, so now God is God, and the Lamb is who? Jesus, right? The Lamb is who? The Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world.
Jesus.
So I'm gonna, if there are God and the Lamb, I'm gonna name bronze. Right there, I'm just curious. And the throne of God and of the
Lamb.
No challenge. Amber one. Because they didn't have thrones. So somebody, if they're God there, they got something he said, but they got no throne. But the throne of God and the
Lamb.
All right, keep going, Pastor. I messed up right now. And his servants shall serve him. Look at that. When it's God and the Lamb, how are they going to serve him? They're supposed to serve him. Right? No. Any more. All right, so y'all can just go there and you'll piggyback and play with that later. And there shall be no light there. And they need no, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead, and there shall be no light. I think of all this. That's some serious stuff. Never. And they need no candles, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the whole sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I heard them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed what? These things. I lost that page. Then he said, he unto me, see thou. Well, what is he doing? Trying to what? Worship. Even he's caught up in the spirit. He already told him one time, see that little light. We're talking about what kind of worship? True worship. He said, for I am thy fellow servant and the, of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book. Worship. John was so aware by the splendor of the revelation that he was worshiping an angel and not God. Tonight is so important. Who wants to have this real salvation? Worship God. Don't worship nothing else. Don't allow anyone else to influence you. Tonight our sole worship should be to God. So in leaving tonight, make decisions that please God. Don't make any decision for fear of what someone may take away from you or what they may give you. In Deuteronomy it says, a gift in secret blinded the wise in judgment. Does the devil know this with you? Yes. So when somebody is trying to, you know how the fuck is trying to pull the strings, and wait, yeah, they reach market, the property, I'm going to give them a gift. These, oh, I don't want you to take away the gift. That would blind the wise in judgment. Why? Because you're not worshiping God, but you're worshiping the gift. Tonight is all about being real. If I'm never around, and I won't be around forever, do what's right in the sight of God. It's not important what I see or what I think, as we all see. Tonight, the most important thing is, what does God see? How does God observe us? What am I worshiping? We're supposed to worship God and Him only. We are to worship nothing else. The true worshipers will worship God in what? Fear and in truth. You know how good God is. He said, you know what? True worshipers. Right? Hold on. But something is missing. They're not doing it in truth. Those are what kind of worshipers? True worshipers. Will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He said, and ultimately the Lord is seeking such to worship Him. Amen. Tonight is all about doing what's right in the eyes of God. Do I have a puppeteering salvation? In other words, I just do what somebody wants me to do because I don't want them to be mad at me. Take it away. I don't care what it is, take it away. Even if it's my hope, take it away. Even if I've invested thousands and thousands and thousands, but you want me to do the wrong thing, take it away. Tonight, we ought to seek to please God and Him on the other.